Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert. Thank you for joining me today. So as many of you know, that I am coming out with a book this fall through EWTN Publishing, and it's not just my writing, but it is compiled of 12 other women, and also Father Joseph Mary, if you're familiar with him over at EWTN. And this book is really for the woman that really wants to just change her life. That if you are not living and being the woman God is calling you to be, the question is why? And I wanted women to really think about that. And Mother Angelica is one of the contributors, and she has her beautiful words of wisdom. And really, there's a glimpse into her own story of growing up in a broken home. Just like me, I really relate to her. And she really helps just with her writings and her chapter to help you move from pain to regret to maybe embracing your healing and love and hope and having that relationship with God. And I wanted this book to truly be almost a step-by-step spiritual defense plan in how to grow in your confidence, how to grow as a woman of God, and how to live His will out in your own lives, because that can be hard and confusing at times. But with that being said, we have to understand what that process is and how to go about doing that. So if you would like to learn more about the book, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing, you can go to womenmadenew.org and download the first chapter. And one of the contributors is Cameron Fradd, and she is here to speak with us today about self-talk and the lies that the evil one gives us and how to overcome that with truth and God's word. So without further ado, let's get right into it with Cameron Fradd. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have the beautiful Cameron Fradd. Thank you for being here, Cameron.
Whoop, whoop. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. It's so fun to do this again.
I know, right? It's been a while since you've been on, and she is one of the contributors in the new book coming out, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation and Healing. And isn't that what we're all about, Cameron? Like just starting over, healing, transforming. And women are doing that all the time, though. There's not just like one stop shop, boom, you're healed, and then you go from there. It's like this continual
process.
Yes, right. And it's immersive and it's a daily path. It could be a daily struggle, but it's something that you're always striving for. But you really do kind of strip away the old and step into that new person. And I feel like we're always constantly growing into that new person, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Even when we've healed from some things, then the Lord brings up something else. And we're like, oh, wow, I had no idea I even had that wound I need to deal with.
Right. But each time we overcome those hurdles, you're so much stronger and you have such knowledge of who you truly are, right?
Yes, definitely.
And that's one problem I think a lot of women have. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to write this book, is there's so much confusion of who you are, especially who you are as a woman. And there are so many different things pulling us in so many polar opposite directions. And there's such confusion about who you are. And also, your beliefs and your whole belief system. And your chapter is phenomenal. And it's called, your chapter is He is Lying to You. And I love that you start the chapter off with John 8:44. And the Bible passage is really powerful because it's true. And it just puts it all out there. And it says, when Satan lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So tell the women what your chapter is all about.
Yeah, I feel like my whole thing is just not pretending. Like, I am so sick of people pretending. I'm not very good at pretending because I wasn't like that normal stereotypical girl. Like, I was the tomboy and the athlete, and like, I didn't do anything right. Like, I didn't sit properly when I wore a skirt. I didn't. My sister was like Miss Picture Perfect, and so I feel like,
oh, isn't it frustrating? That's how I grew up. I get it.
Yeah. It's like, why can't you just be more like Meredith? And I'm like, I don't know. Cause I'm not Meredith. Okay. I can't be as smart as her. I can't be as pretty as her. I can't be as ladylike as her. I'm a big hot mess. And you know what? That's okay. The Lord created me to be a big hot mess. And I think in some ways it's almost easier for me to be like, yeah, this is me, because, and sometimes I get caught in the lie of trying to wear a mask and hide from it. But, yeah, or trying to be that someone else wants me to be, but I'm like, I don't want to be that person, and I don't want y'all to be it. And I think too often we listen to Satan, like he is a goddamned liar, because he is I think I can say this. I know it's EWTN, but here's the thing. I think I can say this because he is damned by God for all of eternity to hell. Right? So I wouldn't call anyone else that, but Satan, it's totally legit. And I think Mother Angelica maybe would say the same thing, because it's just stating who he is. And I think that we live in a world that you know, doesn't think he exists. That's the greatest thing that the devil ever did, was convince the world he doesn't exist.
Right. And that's such a trap, right? And people are careless because they don't think there's a threat.
No, he is a liar, and he is whispering in your ear. And if you are not on guard, you think it's you, or you think it's everyone around you, and it's only him. In Australia, the Australians refer to him as old hairy legs, is up to his old tricks again. And I just love that, because it's not threatening. I feel like we're like, ooh, a demonic spirit. It's big, it's bad, it's ugly. And it's like, oh, silly old hairy legs. And it's like, he's this ugly fallen angel who's literally whispering in our ears. And unfortunately, we listen to him, and sometimes we even think he's God.
Yes. And you know what's interesting when you say that, that we think he's all powerful, the evil one, and that it's like there's this like match between him and God, because if we kind of think that, then we're kind of putting him at the same level in power as God, and he's not. At all, no, by any means. He's actually a creature that God created, an angelic creature he created, and he is absolute in 100% control of him and what he's allowed to do and not to do. And this isn't like some match between Tyson and someone else, you know, like this big battle round. It's nothing like that whatsoever. If anything, he's incredibly weak, and he has a certain amount of time to do as much damage as possible. And our will is bigger than him.
Yes.
And we need to remember that the will that God gave us to say yes or no to the temptation that is being presented to us, we have the power in that, and we have power over that temptation. And it's up to us if we give way or not. And all of hell can tempt you with something. The devil himself can come and tempt you with something. But at the end of the day, you hold the power to say yay or nay and allow it in your life. So your will, everybody, is huge. And what you decide to do with it changes the course of your life when you say yes or no to temptations, and how far you allow them in your life.
Yeah. And that's what this whole chapter, my whole chapter is about.
Love
it's
it.
About not listening. Like, first of all, recognizing that they're lies. Cause I think a lot of girls don't think they're lies. They're like, no, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough.
Yep.
If I was more like X, Y, or Z. And it's like, that's not true. Like, we need to speak truth, and we need to bring something out into the light. So I think bringing it out into the light, like Christ owns it in the darkness. And so my first thing is like, we need to shine light on this, and we need to recognize these lies for what they are. That they are lies. And especially when we are in a deep, dark pit, when we, I'm sharing my story in this and where I found myself in a really dark, sad, lonely place. I was in the bottom of the deep, dark pit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough, by God's grace, I was blessed enough that I had people that loved me, and they loved me too much to let me stay in my deep, dark pit. And I told them to bugger off. I told them I didn't want them anything to do with me.
Right?
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And they love me too much to do that. I've been fortunate to walk with people. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and she tried to like just tell me to back off, and she's not really my friend and all this stuff. And she just like lashed out at me. And I just said to her, I'm like, hey, guess what? I still love you. I'm not going anywhere. Like, I know none of this is true. You are in like a really unhealthy place right now. And she was like kind of in a manic state. And I'm like, you're in the right place. Those therapists are going to help you. But I need you to know I love you and I'm going to help you. I am still here. You can say whatever mean stuff about me you want. I know none of that is true. But it was just the place that she was in. And I think I loved her through that. And we're still friends today. And I remember like some of our other friends, she did the same thing too. And they walked away. And they're like, Cameron, why did you not walk away? I'm like, because I've said that to other people. I've said, leave me alone. Like, I don't want your help. And it's like, it was just my weakness that I said that. Like, I need the help. And so I'm not only am I encouraging these women that read this to shine light on the lies that they believe, but I want to give them the antidote, right? So I even have lies that are listed, like really common lies that we believe. And then I give them truths, Bible verses that counteract this. And it's like, you don't need to believe it yet. I was really blessed that I had a friend of mine that walked with me, and I was so mean to this woman. I was so mean to her. And I'm like, no, you've made a mistake. And I upset her so much. I made her cry multiple times. And she's like, Cameron, just take the Bible verse, like pray with it. And she was consistent with me. And I eventually, I'm like, okay, well, I don't think this is a lie, but she's saying it's a lie. So I'm going to trust her. Lord, you let me know. But the more I let that scripture speak to my heart, the more the scales from my eyes fell and I was able to see. I'm like, holy cow, this is a lie. And my friend's like, yeah, no joke. That's what I've been saying for like 6 months now. I'm so glad you finally realized it. But yeah, and sometimes it takes a while, especially if it's a childhood wound, like something that you've been believing since you were a little girl.
That's right.
And now you're a grown woman and maybe you're 50 years old or 70 years old and you still believe this lie. It's not too late to fight it and counteract it.
You know, the fact you said the scales came off of my eyes. Do you know that's how I felt when I came out of that darkness as well? Like you're awake and you're seeing things so differently. And it's just like, whoa, it's just, it kind of takes you back. And I remember just crying and crying and crying and crying some more. But you just, you're kind of just become awake for the first time in a really long time. Yes. And you're seeing the light because you were in the darkness for so long, and you're seeing things for what they are instead of how you're perceiving them out of that wound. And it really is shocking and it's amazing. And that's what I actually thought to myself, Cameron, was, wow, the scales came off of my eyes. So it's really interesting that you just use that term, because I literally felt like that's what happened to me when I came out of the pit. And I think so many women that are listening, even men that may be listening, or priests that are listening, or whatever it is, so many of us have been in that pit that you're talking about in a different way, shape, or form. But the beauty is that we can get out, that we're not trapped in there. We don't have to stay there. And that is by choice. And that God is there with his love and his mercy. And he's calling every single one of you. Yes, you listening in your car driving or in your kitchen or on your computer. He is calling you to go deeper, to become stronger, to become whole, and to do great things for him in this world. But as long as you hold on to that sin and wound, it will never happen. It can't happen.
And I think even if you feel like you've had a conversion experience, but you're like, I wish I could undo the pit. Like, I wish I never did that. Here's the thing. We were together on this retreat. I'm pretty sure you were there. And there's a really beautiful, holy man. I never say his name right. Is it Monsignor
Essif.
There you go. What you said. And I remember meeting with him and him saying to me, Cameron, you think the Lord uses you in spite of your brokenness and weakness and sinfulness? And I'm like, yeah, isn't that amazing? God is so good. Like, I am so thankful for that. No. He uses you precisely because of it. Every bruise, every cut, every wound, whether inflicted by you or someone else, like that is exactly why the Lord shines through you. And I just like had this image of like, like the Sacred Heart or my heart that's been pierced and broken and bruised so many times. And sometimes it was other people inflicting it. But for me, it was me inflicting wounds upon myself I hated myself so much. Yeah. And I just was in such a dark, horrible place. And I feel like I had repented and I knew the Lord saved me. But I don't know, something when Monsignor said that to me that I was like, oh, praise you, Jesus. Like, thank you, Lord, for letting me be in that deep, dark pit, because now your light shines through that. Your light can shine through every bruise, every cut, every scrape. And it's glorious, you know, and it's made me so much more of who I am. Like, I'm more fully alive because I used to live in a deep, dark pit.
Right. And you live in that shame and that worthlessness and that not good enough wound. I did for so many years. Right. And you can't even imagine a life without it. You can't imagine the other side of that. But there actually is another side, because I'm not ashamed. I know I'm not worthless, and I know I am loved, and I can talk Amen. About past abuses or past sins so yes. openly, and even write about them in this book. So just raw and honest that yes. I'm not ashamed, because God heals. He really does heal. That He really, ladies out there, wants to make you new, women mm-hmm. made new. You can be Amen. New. And you're thinking, oh, please, my life experiences, and I'm just so worn and torn, and there's just no way. But there is a way, and God is the way. Jesus is the way. And I'm not saying Jesus heals everything, just Jesus, you know, trying to be a holy roller. No, I'm coming at you with true experience of coming out of this and through it and on the other side, that God has made me new. Now, am I perfect? No, not by any means. I still struggle. I still have my issues, and certain things are still there, and I'm not perfect, but I'm not what I was by any means. And when I talk about my past, I feel like I'm talking about a completely different woman. Isn't that crazy,
yeah.
Cameron?
Yeah, me too. No, I feel totally the same. It's like a past life. Like, I've had people like share something with where they're at, and they're like, you couldn't understand. I'm like, no, I've been in that exact same spot. And they're like, no, there's no way. You wouldn't have. And I'm like, no, I was. But I can remember it, but it's like barely, because it's so far removed from the way I view myself now.
And who you are.
And who I truly am. And I think also we need to remember what St. Faustina says, right? The greater the sinner, the greater right they have to my mercy. That's straight from Jesus telling
me. Oh, I love it.
The greater the sinner, like, the greater right you have to my mercy. You need all of this. And I love you oh so much, you know? Mm-hmm. Like he loves, like, look who he hung out with. Right? The prostitutes and the woman caught in adultery. Jesus at no point said, shame on you. Or I guess I'll love you, but you're kind of gross. Like, I have this picture of my daughter going to confession, and I've used it often in talks. We were at the time going to a Byzantine church. So we were trying to get my 7-year-old daughter to go to confession, just asking if she was ready or not. And my 7-year-old turns and looks at my 5-year-old and says, I'll go to confession if you go first. And they just looked at me. I looked at the priest, and the priest is, and my 5-year-old Kiara, this is your Jason's goddaughter, right?
Yeah.
And she smiles, and she's like, oh yeah, I'll go first. And I looked at the priest, and he's like, if she says she's ready, let's do this.
No way.
And so he walks to the front of the church, and I got a picture of it because it was so beautiful. I'm in the back pew. Father's in the front pew, and so is she. And Kiara, at this point, you can see most of Father over the pew, right? But Kiara, all you see is all these long ringlet curls and a tiny little bow. And then the priest is kind of leaned over listening to her, and there's a huge icon of Jesus in front of her. And the priest tells her, you know, Father Stephen says, look at Jesus and tell him all your sins. And I just was in awe, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is me when I go to confession. This is you when you go to confession. Like, the Lord doesn't see a big ugly ogre. He sees He's his sweet little precious girl. I don't care if you're 50 years old and 200 pounds and you have dark hair. He sees you as a sweet little tiny girl with a little bow on her head. And he's like, oh, sweet girl, thank you so much for coming back. Of course, I love you. I want to be with you. Thank you for coming back to me. Here is all my mercy.
Right. And that's the power that we decide if we enter into that or not. Mm-hmm. Right. Our will is everything. It's huge. And what we decide to do with it, what we give way to, or what we withhold ourselves from, just like God's mercy. And for those of you tuning in, we are talking with Cameron Fradd about her chapter in the upcoming book, Women Made New: Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And your chapter is so powerful because you address the lies that Satan tells us. And I love the list that you give of the different lies that you experience, Cameron, in it. And then you also give those Bible verses countering it. And it's so powerful because so many of the lies that you were feeding yourself, the devil is not unique in the lies that he tells everybody. It seems like it's cookie cutter sometimes, right? And it's the same thing.
No, it's
cookie cutter, because a lot of the same lies that he regurgitated to you were regurgitated to me, that were regurgitated to the other woman, and all these women I talked to, they relate.
But he also tells you, you're the only one. The only one that feels like this. No one else. And I think that's part of his plan, is like, do not talk to any other woman about this.
Isolation.
You were so alone. You were the only one that has ever felt like this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know any woman that hasn't experienced the majority of these lies.
Right? It does seem like they belong to everybody that he's trying to just give these to believe. And a lot of these times, ladies, that you're feeling these things, or you're looking in the mirror, or there's times I've looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh, you're so fat, you're so this, you're so that, and just eating myself alive, you know, in my mind, and like, you're worthless and you're unlovable and this and that, and nobody's gonna want you. And it's like, half the time, that wasn't mine. But I was taking that in because I was weak and I had a wound, and he knew it and he used it against me. And that's what he does, right?
Yeah. And I think that even sometimes we try to counteract it. So even let's take that. Let's take body image. Okay. And we're like, okay, it's not good to have a really bad body image. And so what does the world do? We're going to go to the extreme. You are beautiful and gorgeous. It doesn't matter if you're obese. It doesn't matter if you're anorexic. Your body is perfect and beautiful just the way it is. It's like, wait, no, that's not true. This girl needs to eat way more. And this girl needs to not eat as much, right? We need to get your body the healthy size. And for some people, that could be a size 4. Other people, it's a size 14 or 20. Like, the size doesn't matter, but it's like, but we need Jesus's eyes to see it. And it's like, okay, no, I am beautiful, not because I'm not a certain shape. Like, I am beautiful because I am made in the image and likeness of the Lord. And yes, is my stomach have way more skin than it used to because I have beautiful children? Yes. Do I have stretch marks? Do I have whatever? Name all the things. And it's like, but the devil wins when we are nitpicking our bodies over that, or when we go to the opposite extreme and like, my body is beautiful just the way it is, and I'm going to go down to the beach in my tiny little bikini that's 6 sizes too small, and everyone else can just deal with it. It's body shaming if they say that I need to, you know, lose some weight or something. It's like, no, no, no. Like, both these are wrong. This is not the correction of that. There's a whole nother thing here, you know, and it really is seeing ourselves in through Christ's eyes, getting those scales to drop from our eyes and seeing the truth and seeing reality.
So let's bring the lies to light, because some of the women are like, well, what are these lies? You know, so what are these lies, Cameron, that we're constantly being fed, would you say?
Okay, so I'll start with I'm not beautiful, because that's kind of what we're talking about with the body image. Mm-hmm. I'm not beautiful. I'm not beautiful. I'm ugly. I'm worthless. Other people are more beautiful than me. In Song of Solomon 4:7, it says, you are all fair, my love. There is no flaw in you. Okay. So just read Song of Psalms and you will know, like, you will know how much the Lord loves you and pours his graces upon you. And we are just precious. I think of like little kids, like you look at them, like especially a little girl. And if you've ever been there when they put on a new dress and they just walk in the room and they twirl, and they especially look for it from their dads. But sometimes it's from anyone. It's like, do you like my new dress? And they do a swirl not ashamed. They're not ashamed. And sometimes the dress is like 5 sizes too big and maybe it doesn't even look that great, but they're like, I feel beautiful, Dad. What do you think of me? And you know, so I'm sure Jason's just like Matt. And it's like, oh my goodness, you are the most beautiful, precious thing. Honestly, it has nothing to do with the dress. It has everything to do with the girl that they are just head over heels in love with, right?
Yes.
And just think they're so beautiful. And it's like, we are like, I am the Lord's beloved. Like he loves me and he delights in me.
So a lot of women are hearing you and maybe they're thinking, yeah, well, she's not talking to me. So what do women have to do to get from point A to point B of with what you experienced? Because you were so honest and so real in your chapter and certain things I didn't even know about. When I read this chapter, I didn't know about you, which was unbelievable. I was just, and I even got tears in my eyes at one point, and it was just beautiful, Cameron, how much of yourself you put into this chapter. So first, let me thank you for that. And second, I know this is going to help so many women, but with where you were at to where you are now, and that's where women want to be. How did you do that? What was your process? What did it look like?
Well, to be honest, I feel like the Lord's put this chapter, the Lord's put on my heart a long time ago to write a book on lies. And so when you brought it up to me, I was like, okay, I don't want to do this, but I think the Lord wants me to write it on lies.
That's how you and know. You're just like, oh, you kind of cringe. Like, okay.
I'm like, Lord, anything else. I could talk on anything else. And I had to verbal diarrhea so much more than I wanted to. and then I had friends that know my heart well. And I was like, help me process this. Help me figure out what to say and what not to say. And they were so beautiful in the process. And so I feel like this is like me exposing part of my heart, but not all of it. Like it's very naked and raw and vulnerable where I go. And I think even as I was doing it, I could tell that the Lord wanted me to do it because I had that like burning desire on my heart, but Satan did not want me to. And I was under attack on so many levels.
I remember, right? And there's even fear in it because when God asks you to do something, but do something that's big and that you just really hesitate and you, a part of you knows you have to go there, that's where he's calling you and you don't want to, there is a fear of that unknown. And I was unsure of when I started this. And so I know I could hear in your voice, even like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, we got to do this, Karen. Let's go.
I know. And I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad. And I know like it's blessed me so much just retelling it. And just honestly, as I did it, I was like, God, you were so good. Like you were so merciful. Cause this, a lot of it does seem like a lifetime ago. Like I talk a lot about my childhood and a lot of this is mainly in my high school years. And just being like, Lord, you were so good. Like, I cannot believe you brought me through this. And really only by his grace. Like I know other people that have made it through it, but they had lots of great therapists and, you know, support groups and whatever. And I was like cold turkey, you know? But I really like, I feel like Our Lady took me by the hand. And when I was too scared to hold her hand, she let me hide under her mantle.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well said, Cameron.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a place like that I go back to often whenever it's like, it's too exposed, it's too much. And I just go back to my mama.
We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be back with Cameron Fratt. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and we are talking with Cameron Fratt, and we are discussing her chapter in the new upcoming book, Women Made New, and it discusses reflections on adversity, transformation, and healing. And Cameron, your chapter specifically discusses the lies that women tell themselves. And it's so good how you break them all down because women don't realize the lies that they're feeding themselves, that they're being told. And I remember when Emily Wilson was interviewed on the show, she said something that really stuck with me. And I've mentioned it in several of my interviews that when you hear those lies and those whispers that really truly are negative and may not be your own, but you tell yourself them all the time, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, those things, literally out loud, she said, she tells Jesus or asks Jesus, tell me the truth.
Yes.
Like man. Knock it out. Just boom, just take it out. Yeah. And so I literally have trained myself in this advice from Emily Wilson of if there is something and it's just like, just not right or putting me down or whatever, I literally just stop out loud. I'm like, Jesus, tell me the truth. And I heard my child down the hallway, because I was talking to myself. It sounds like you're talking to yourself, but I'm talking to Jesus, right? And he's like, oh, there she goes again, guys. Like, they heard me say, Jesus, tell me the truth, you know? It's cute and it's good they hear that and that I'm asking our Lord and I talk to our Lord, but it was just hilarious when I heard my son say that, there she goes again, guys. You know,
no, it's
but
so,
they're paying
it's
attention.
So yeah. Yeah. And we need to say, and sometimes lies are easy and other times they're not, because they've been truths to us for so long.
Yes.
Especially if we believe these lies for many, many years, it's very hard to see with fresh eyes. And so praying, Jesus, untwist this lie. Let me see the truth of it, what it truly is. You need to untwist it and show me. One lie, when I first started combating these lies, we had a prayer experience where someone asked us to, I was 19 or 18. And someone said, I want you, this was like, we had like an hour prayer time. And they said, I want you to go away and write down who you are. Who are you in God's eyes, an image, draw a picture, whatever. And I'm sitting in this space looking at all these other girls writing a bajillion words on their paper and drawing these beautiful pictures. And I drew like a stick figure and I just put on the shirt, God's girl, and then a big question marks all around her. Uh-huh. And I was the last one to share. Everyone else shared. And there was all these beautiful things. And I was like, yeah, I'm not sure actually. Like, cause normally I'd be the athlete, but like I hurt my shoulder and I lost my scholarship. And so I wasn't the athlete anymore. And it's like, okay, I'd be this. And I'm like, I don't know who I am anymore. I know I'm God's girl. Like, that's all I got. I know I am God's girl and he's got me. He saved my life. And I am only here because he loves me, but I don't know much more than that. That's all I got. And the Lord worked with that. And then through prayer and through a beautiful friend of mine that I name in this chapter, who is just that much older than me. I want to say Lynn was probably mid-20s and I was like 18 or 19. And she was just so beautiful helping me identify lies. And there was multiple things that she told me. And I'm like, Lynn, that's not a lie. That's just who I am. And she's like, we're writing it down because I know you and that's not you. Like, this is... you know, this is a lie. And so in the beginning, my prayer was, Lord, is this a lie? Show me if it is. And then, okay, speak truth. So one of the lies is I've messed up and I am no good. Okay. So that is one of the lies. A lot of women feel, and Satan has told us this, he is the prince of lies, you know, and he is so good at telling lies. And then he tells us, shh, it's a secret.
Yes.
Don't tell anyone else. No one else feels this way. You're the only person in the world that's messed up this much and you are no good at all.
Right. And then we don't want to share it. We don't want to say that we think this or feel this, because then we think, wow, what a loser I am. If I said that out loud.
Then everyone would know I'm such a loser.
Yes, exactly. Right. And we keep so much in. And honestly, if we could tap in to the self-talk that women tell themselves, I mean, it would be brutal. And we like just put it out there. It would be so brutal and so sad that women are probably most vicious with themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know what's funny? So I don't really struggle with this anymore. I used to, for sure. And I was probably one of the worst ones at it. And there were so many, I was so hateful and mean and evil. Like, there's no other word than evil at the way I would talk about myself. Mm-hmm. And this Bible verse, I love this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it's to counteract that lie we were just talking about. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Mm-hmm. Behold, the new has come. And Christelina, we both were saying, we almost feel like it was a lifetime ago. Like those sins, those horrible things, that negative self-talk, it almost feels like it was a different life.
Yep.
Because it was.
Yeah.
We were a new creation.
Yes, it was a different life. I mean, just the way you think and you act. And because when you truly embrace who God is calling you to be, you truly do, to a certain extent, shed the ways of the world. You shed the way that you you dressed or that you talked or even how you act or the people you hang out with, the places you go to, the things you allow yourself to watch. You are mindful because you want to guard who you are. You don't want to let the things of the world in. And I'm going to tell you right now, ladies, we're not of this world. And Jesus tells us that himself in the Bible. And I want to just drive this home, and I keep saying it and saying it. A lot of the times we're frustrated in our own lives and situations and matters happening in our lives because we're looking to the world for advice and we're looking to worldly people. And that is not how we solve
their
problems.
Does not solve the problems.
No, we're people of God. Yes. We're people of God, and we go to God to solve our problems. Yes. We do not go to the world. And that's why there is that disconnect. That's why you're frustrated. That's not where you're getting the answer that you want. And that's why there's not good solutions that are long lasting, because you are doing it in a worldly sense when you need to do it in a godly sense, because you are not of the world. And people really don't understand that.
Yeah. And we need to go to Jesus. I was homeschooling one of my kids, and they were young, and they were getting really, really frustrated. And they just yelled. I was like, come on, you know this. You know this answer. And like, the answer is Jesus. And I think we were doing math. I don't even know what it was, but I just kind of laughed. I was like, sorry, what? And they're like, I don't know. Jesus is the answer, right? And I was like, I mean, not to this particular thing in history or math, but I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Let's close the book. You're right. Jesus is the ultimate answer. That's going to count. We're going to be done with this subject for today. We're shutting the book. But it was so beautiful. It was like an innocent little, like, 7-year-old. Just, is it Jesus?
Like, over it. Jesus can do anything.
Right? And I'm like, all right, yeah, Jesus is the answer. We will take that. Like, he really is to whatever problem we're having. Like, he is the answer. He is the savior.
And we're not oversimplifying it either. Like, Jesus is the answer. And that's what I was saying before. But he's calling all of us, and you're not excluded. You're not exempt from this. There's, and I've said this to every interview, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because so many women ride themselves off. They're unworthy, that God doesn't love them. They can't do anything. They're stuck in a rut. They're stuck in the past and their wounds, but that Jesus has a place for you at the table. There is a seat at the table and room for everybody. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you have done. And I will drive this home every radio show, every time I have a chance to get it out there, that you are welcome. And everybody's seat is unique. Everyone's seat is different, but it is yours.
It's your seat, and you cannot fill my seat. So here's the thing. Like, with this, I cannot be Crystalina Everett. I would fail miserably. I cannot be you. You are amazing and wonderful and beautiful, and I'm so glad you have a seat at the table. But if I try to sit in your seat, I will either break it or I can't. Like it's impossible.
It doesn't
work. I can't
do
that. Mm-hmm. And not only am I denying the world of me, like, by me trying to be you, there's two different things happening. I'm not letting you be who the Lord created you to be, because I'm fighting you for that seat. Mm-hmm. So I'm denying the world of the beauty of Crystalina, but then I'm also denying the world of the beauty of Cameron.
Yes.
Because I can't be Emily Wilson. I can't be you. I can't be the woman listening to this right now. Whoever you are listening, if you're like, amen, amen, you could have written this book. It could have been you instead of Crystalina, or you instead of me. But the Lord's given you a seat. You've got to figure out what your seat is and sit in it and proclaim the truth. And maybe you won't be doing it in front of a camera or on a microphone. You could be doing it in the most valuable place, in your home.
Mm-hmm.
With your roommates, with your children, in the family. Like, that is the most powerful place that we need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's another reason I wrote this book, is that women have got to figure out what is it. This is the question of all questions right now with this book that I want women to answer for themselves, is what is it in your life that is keeping you from becoming the woman God is calling you to be? Mm-hmm. Because whatever that is, you have got to face it. You've got to own it. You've got to heal it and get on the other side of it. And you're being called to do that today, right now. And this is a means to help you do that. And also, I brought all these beautiful powerhouse women like yourself together, because there are so many beautiful ministries and so many different ways and avenues within the church that can help you that you may not know about, because people that listen to me may actually like your podcast better, or may like Sarah Swofford or Teresa Tomeo's better. But whatever it is that's going to help you get closer to God and become the woman that He's calling you to be, do it. Find it. And I'm giving you all these different ministries, all these different women that can help you do that. But at the end of the day, we've talked about your will. It is the most important thing that you have, because it directs the course of your entire life. Your decisions you make, what you say yes to, what you say no to, and the things that we say yay or nay to hold weight in heaven. Period. Yeah. And Amen. It matters. So you need to know who you are and what it is that is keeping you from fulfilling what God has for you. Because I'm telling you, He has something just for you, and it matters. It holds weight. And I think people don't take it seriously enough, and they should.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why you have to recognize the lie. So like, I've been dealing with health stuff for many years, but the past couple of years, it's just been really rough. And just recently I finally got more diagnosis. So it's like, okay, these disease, but two things that are making everything worse is I have mold toxins and I have Lyme disease, and it's chronic Lyme disease that I probably had forever. And so this new doctor is like, okay, so we've identified these things we need. And now I could either be in denial and ignore them, but it's like, no, we need to identify it. And now we need to starve it. And so I can't have any sugar. I can't, there's all these physical things I need to do to get rid of these things. Wow. And then, so I feel like naming the lie, bringing it up, even if you don't think it's a lie yet, just be like, all right, well, Crystalina and Cameron said, or I read it in this chapter, this is a lie. So I'm just going to take their word for it. Here you go, Jesus, show me the truth. Mm-hmm. And then you got to go through a time of detox, right?
Yeah.
Where I need to starve this bad stuff. So you need to go through detox and not let yourself say those lies. And here's a great trick. Anytime that lie comes in your head, like you say, like, I'm stupid, or I'm not beautiful, or I don't deserve love, stop and correct it. Stop. Jesus, I think I actually do deserve love. Jesus, you say you love me. Say the Bible. Turn it into a prayer. Satan will stop bringing them up.
That's
like, he
right.
will. He's like, oh, it's gosh, bring them closer to God, not yep. further away.
That's right.
So you've got to starve that. You've got to starve the devil, starve those evil thoughts in your head by going through a detox time. And sometimes you feel like you're getting sicker, because you do get sicker when you go through detox, and things may get worse for a little bit. Go to confession, keep going. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is how people overcome all sorts of horrible sins, right? It's like, okay, we've got to go. And this, and I know, like, believing these lies aren't necessarily sinful. I'm sure we can figure out where they fit in sin wise, but it's toxins to your body. It's toxins to your soul and your mind. And if you are someone that's always doing negative talk in your head, you will pass that on to your children. You will do negative talk to them. They will do it in their heads, and it'll just go on and on. And it's like, no, the buck's going to stop here. We're going to starve it, and then we're going to fill it with nutrients, right? So you're with my body, we got to put all sorts of good things in it. So with our mind, we need to put all these Bible verses in, right? We need to put truths. We need to not be listening to things that are negative. We need to listen to people that are positive. We need to surround ourselves by people that love themselves and that will speak truth to us. So when you're like, oh gosh, I just look so fat, and like, they'll love you in it and be like, hey, you know what? You're beautiful. You just had a baby. Of course you weigh more than you feel like you ought to weigh, but look at that gorgeous child that exists. This child would not exist without you. Your body is amazing and beautiful. It has fed this child for 9 months, and it grew in your womb. It was nothing. You know, and then now your body is feeding it still. So yeah, you're going to hold on more weight than maybe you want, but you need it to give good milk to this baby. And we've got to be mindful of all of this. And only after we go through that, then can we be on the other side, and then we can experience health and health of mind and body. And we've got to go through it and look at it, and we've got to take it serious. And we've got to surround ourselves with good people and good things to read. Maybe you read horrible magazines that you need to stop. Get rid of those and put this book by your bedside. This is what you're going to read when you go to bed, instead of that magazine that's just negative stuff about you or telling you 110 ways you can improve yourself.
Right. And it's so much more than that. And one thing I think women have a tendency to do, and I did for the longest time, is to focus on the negative. Mm-hmm. And we forget the victories that Jesus has given us in our lives, because the evil one wants us to forget the things we've overcome, the ways he was defeated, that he had a stronghold over us, and he no longer does. So ladies, don't forget the victories and the things that you have overcome in your past, because you have. I know you have, because you wouldn't be where you are today. Now, maybe you're holding on to a lot and it overshadows that, but no matter, that victory is yours and you need to own it and remember, and that God is powerful and he is more powerful than any stronghold or any sin or anything going on in your life. He truly is. And I know some of you may have a hard time believing that, but I'm here to tell you, you have every right to believe that, and you should let it sink in. And today, hey, is confession all over the place Saturday, and you can go to confession. You can start over. You can start anew and start this process, and the trajectory of your life can go in the right direction. And so go to Jesus, give him everything. If you have a hard time, go to adoration. I go there and dump everything. And I'm crying and I'm a mess sometimes, but that's okay. That's the best place to do that. So go and pray to him and don't hold anything back. Now, Cameron, I had and really wanted you to be a part of this book because you have a beautiful ministry and I want the women to know about it, what you're doing and how they can find you and all the good stuff happening in your life. So can you let us know where they can find you and what the name of your ministry and where they can go to get more information?
Sure. So you can go to YouTube or you can go to any podcast app, and it's called Among the Lilies, Among the Lilies. And I have a podcast and YouTube channel. And it is for ladies that are tired of pretending and are ready to be real. I think I always heard so many things and of women having it all together, especially Catholic women. And I remember hearing stories of, oh, well, you're the frat, so you must pray like this. Or, oh, you're Jason and Kristalina, I bet their kids always do that. I'm like, are you serious? Have you not met their kids? Have you not met them? Or have you not seen us? We're like a big hot mess. Our kids could barely make it through mass. And like, I had all these stories and people saying, like, putting us on pedestals. And I remember someone saying, something about, and I can't remember, I think it was actually you. And I remember saying, you don't even know her. She does not say that about herself. And like, well, no, they, and I'm like, no, don't say they, I know them. They're real friends in real life. And they didn't ask to be put on that pedestal. You have put them far higher than they put themselves. And that's not okay. You should not be trying to live up to they shouldn't have to live up to your standards, first of all. And then you can't live up to what you think is their standards, because that's not even their standards. Yeah. And I felt like myself, I started the ministry when I was postpartum with my fourth child who almost died and was on a feeding tube. And I
remember
that. Once he started, I know, right? Praise God. It was so rough. And then once he started getting better, I got worse. And I had postpartum really bad. I called up a girlfriend of mine who I said, Matt wants to know when I'm coming back. I don't even know what he means by that, but I was just so frustrated. And I'm like, I'm here. What are you talking about? And she's like, Cameron, tell me what's going on. And I'm like, nothing's going on. I just want everyone to leave me alone, not need anything of me. And I just want to stay in my pajamas in my bed all day. She's like, okay, do you think you're depressed? I'm like, no, I'm not depressed. That's what Matt said. I'm not depressed. And my friend, Kana Hickman, was so sweet. And she's like, okay, Cameron, cool. You're not depressed. What you're going to do is call your doctor and tell him you need to get on postpartum medication. And then this dark cloud you're stuck in is going to lift. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. And like within 3 days of taking the medicine, I was like, oh gosh, I could take a deep breath. Okay. But it was a struggle. I struggled for like at least a year with the postpartum stuff. And yeah. Then I remember trying to look to podcasts. And now everyone and their mother has a podcast. And there's so many great, beautiful, awesome podcasts. But back then, there wasn't any good ones. I listened to one and it was, I forget what it was called. It was like Catholic Chat or something. And it was these two wives. And one said, sometimes I'm not the best mom. Like today, I didn't even sweep my floors. And I just thought, I'm going to punch that girl in the face. Did she really just say that? Like, there's no way.
really? And it made me angry. And I was praying in our little prayer room in our house. And I really felt the Lord say to me, Cameron, there is literally a recording studio right below you where you are in the house. And I gave you the gift of gab. Go do it if it's something you want to do. And I remember talking to you and Sarah Swafford and who else? Jennifer Fulweiler. I had like a handful of friends that I reached out to, and I'm like, does this sound, and I expected everyone to be like, yeah, Cameron's a stupid idea. Don't do it. And all of y'all were like cheering me on and like, you've got to do this. And I'm like, I mean, I have four kids that are like 7 and under. Is this really a good idea? And like, you've got this. And what I loved was it gave me the time to have hour long conversations like this that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah.
And it blessed me. It made me a better mom and a better wife. And I hear from so many women that it's blessed them. And so I love doing it. It's not, I don't know how to be squeaky clean. And obviously you can tell just from this interview, I don't have a filter and I don't think in my head. I think externally, which often gets me in trouble, and I should put my foot in my mouth. But by God's grace, he takes my manure that comes out of my mouth and makes the beautiful flowers grow out of it somehow. And sometimes they're pretty lilies, hence among the lilies.
Hence among the lilies. And that is Cameron Fratt. But you're always so honest and real, Cameron. And I love you so much for that, because it's hard to be that all the time. And you are. And I just have a lot of respect for you for that. And not that I'm not honest and real, but like, just like we talked about the gifts, everybody's different in their own way and gifted in their own way. And you live your gifts out beautifully. So I want to commend you for that. And thank you for being a part of this Woman Made New book and being on the show again.
Be part of. I feel like both of us love being cheerleaders for other women. Like, we're not threatened by other women. And I really think it's a grace. I don't know. I don't know why else that would be, but we're not threatened. And we're like, I'm going to put a spotlight on this woman who's doing this amazing, great thing. But you were like organized and can like pull stuff off where I just start everything. So I love that. Not only did you start Women Made New, but you follow through and you get other people to help you do it. And I love, like, you could have written this book all by yourself. You totally could have. You were talented enough. You were smart enough. You were beautiful enough. And it would be authentic and beautiful, and I would still buy the book. But I think it is going to be even more beautiful because the different treasures that each woman is bringing to the table is just, it's like a crown of glory versus it just being your stone.
Right, right. Sense? Yes, you got it. Absolutely, Cameron. You got it. And Women Made New is literally women helping women. Period. Right. And that's what we need to do. And that's what makes us powerful. And that's how we really can overcome the evil one and the evil in our lives is by helping each other with the grace of God. So thank you.
That's why old hairy legs does not like us.
That is right.
We're happy to do that.
That is right. Well, God bless you. And thank you for being here. And I'm sure we will have you on again.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
I want to thank my guest again, Cameron Fratt, for being here and her honesty and just how straightforward she is. I just love her. So thank you, Cameron, for being here. And for those of you, again, that would like to download the first chapter of this book, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing, you can go to womenmadenew.org and download that first chapter. Know you are in my prayers and that I am praying for you, your family, your intentions. And if you could please keep me and my family in your prayers, I would appreciate it because I know prayer is powerful and it matters. Have a wonderful week, everyone. God bless.